Good day and welcome to the Tivoli Talk IBM Maximo 7.1 Linear Asset Manager Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have trouble accessing today's PowerPoint presentation, please email or same time Audra Johnson at audra.johnson@us.ibm.com. Today's call is being hosted by Ken Donnelly, who is part of Strategy and Market Management, as well as Ed Jones, IBM Maximo Designer and Product Architect. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Ken Donnelly. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, this is Ken Donnelly. Welcome to the Tivoli Talk for IBM Maximo 7.1 Linear Asset Manager. Today, Ed and I are going to walk you through a few things to give you an overview of the product. I'm going to first talk about some of the value associated with the product and some of the challenges our customers experience and what we're trying to address with our new solution. And then I'm going to talk about the product portfolio and packaging. And I'll turn it over to Ed, who will then talk about the new features that are part of this solution, and we'll have some time at the end for some questions. Now, let me begin by saying that we're doing several Tivoli talks around the Maximo 7.1 asset management release. There were some talks earlier this month about the base Maximo asset management solution on 7.1. We're talking today about the Linear Asset Manager, and then there'll be talks in May around the Maximo Asset Management Essentials, our new kind of mid-tier or smaller business kind of solution. So let me now talk about linear assets. And with Maximo, we've dealt with a lot of nonlinear assets traditionally, and not so much the linear assets. So let's talk about nonlinear assets. You know, the traditional nonlinear assets include things like mobile assets, and we're talking about fleet or vehicles, cars, trucks, buses, trains, things like that. There's also physical assets that are fixed, like facilities or production-type assets. And then there's component-based assets, like aircraft or vessels. These, like an aircraft, would have engines and auxiliary power units, landing gear, and is seen more as component-based rather than a whole asset. These are typically installed. They're maintained and then replaced as a whole. So if I, over time, I'll replace my car and my truck. I may even replace my building. And these nonlinear assets occupy a defined space and can be tracked by location. So either they're a facility that stays in one place, or they might be a vehicle that tends to move around. Maybe work out on them at different garages. Or they're modeled as part of a parent-child hierarchy. And again, like an aircraft versus an engine. These, again, are the nonlinear assets. Now, our linear assets are things like roads. These are continuous type of assets where they have a start and stop point. If it's a road for the state, it starts when you enter the state and it ends when you exit the state. So Highway 95 going through Massachusetts, for instance. These are both for municipalities, like state and local governments, as well as state DOTs, the state or maybe the federal organization managing those transportation assets. It could be a railway, so the railways track signal structures, bridges, tunnels, things like that, are also treated as a linear asset. Pipeline and wiring, so utility companies, oil and gas companies, telecommunication companies, these companies have linear assets, but they're a little bit different, obviously, than roads and rail. These are preserved and restored in place, so if we have a problem with an exit ramp, we don't replace the entire highway in Massachusetts. We just do work on that particular ramp, or we add a new ramp. So we work with them in place and in segments. Linear assets have linear properties and often connect with each other by their relationship with the linear infrastructure itself. So think of signs and bridges over an overpass. These are all part of a linear infrastructure, and there's a relationship between them. Let me talk specifically about some use cases with those linear assets, and I'll start with roads. Now, the value proposition around roads is, first, we want to adhere to, here in the U.S. at least, we want to adhere to the GASB 34 requirements. And these are really government requirements that say you need to manage your roads like they're an asset, just like you would if you were in private business. They're an asset. We invest in them. We pay so much for them. We continue to improve them. And we need to maintain our accounting so that we can understand that the current cost of that asset. That's one thing that an asset management system would help them with. And number two, if you just look at our the state DOTs, Department of Transportation, they spend $92 billion a year to maintain state highways. So there's a lot of money invested in these types of linear assets. And then when you get down to municipalities, city and local type governments, they're typically dealing with a couple things. Sometimes it's just one, sometimes it's many. They typically have declining funding. They've got less money than they had in the past, so they need to operate a little more efficiently. And they also may have aging infrastructure. And this impacts, at least here in the U.S., this impacts different areas of the country differently. In the northern parts of the country, a lot of the cities are declining in population. So they've got less revenue coming in to maintain the roads that they have. And the infrastructure is getting older. So they need to maintain it, and the costs are increasing to maintain it, yet their population is declining. Now, in the southern part of the U.S., the typical problem is the opposite. They don't have enough infrastructure, and they've got a lot more people moving in. And so they don't have the funding to build new roads. So both of them, at least in the U.S., deal with this kind of issue. This is often similar in other countries as well. There's shifting populations. There's not the proper funding, and the assets, the ones that are in place, are getting older. So one of the challenges they have beyond that is the need to maintain these assets as a continuous asset with dynamic segmentation. And a simple example of dynamic segmentation is I'm tracking my road by mile markers, for instance. And today I want to look at all the problems I have between mile marker 30 and 45. Okay, and so I want my asset management system to tell me, you know, I've got a sign here, a pothole here. Here's all the issues or conditions or problems associated with that section of road. And then tomorrow I want to look at, the mile marker 40 to 60. And there was an overlap of what I looked at yesterday, but now I want to dynamically see that segment of my road. So that's an example of dynamic segmentation and something I deal with a linear asset that's different than what I deal with a fixed asset or a moving asset. Now, I'm also trying to provide location information. So I want my asset information to be done in by mile marker or kilometer marker. Also which lane, what direction it's going in, what the offset is, and that offset is how many feet or so away from a mile marker I might be or a part of a mile. Also, whether it's a bridge or a tunnel or if it's a sign, so even with a sign, I've got X, Y, and Z coordinates because I'm going, off the pavement. Then I've got some operation processes. Okay, these are the way I manage my assets. So for a DOT, Department of Transportation, for problems, they're typically learning about these because they're being called into a service center. So these problems are conditions either being called in by a supervisor that happens to be on the road and sees a problem, or one of a member of the public calls in to complain about an issue that they saw. So information's gathered from often in verbal means through these service centers. In a municipality, they'll often have inspectors that go out to do road assessments. So they go out periodically to do that, and they identify what's called conditions, and that's just the problems. And a couple examples of problems might be cracking or patching. I see cracking in the road, or I see it needs to be patched. Maybe resurface, things like that. And then to do work, I have crews that make repairs or perform construction projects. So I've got one group that does repairs, fills potholes, things like that. I've got another crew that will do new construction, maybe repaving an entire road, adding a new off-ramp, things like that. And in this market, we've got a partner that provides pavement management called Invista. So that's a typical example of a linear use case for roads. Let's take a look at one for railway. Now, railway, the value proposition is a little bit different. Railway maintenance is 20 to 30% of an operating cost of a railroad. So there's a lot of money invested in the infrastructure, and that's for railroads that own their own railway. So they own the track and the signals, those kinds of things. In some countries, especially in the UK, for instance, and in the Netherlands, there's the organization that owns the rolling stock, the locomotives, passenger cars, things like that, are not the same people that own the railway. So they don't maintain the track. There's a separate group that does that. Okay, so for some organizations, separate, very traditionally in the U.S., it's the same. The railroad owns the track and they own the vehicles. There's a lot of costs associated with maintaining that. And then 5 to 15% of their annual revenue is lost due to track occupancy for maintenance. So when I've got a crew working on that track, I've got to shut that track down. I don't want trains going across that while my crew's out there working. It's certainly a safety hazard. But unlike a road where, you know, I just close down a lane, when I've closed down my track, I've got to reroute everything onto other track, and I sometimes that's a problem, especially if I've got a single track environment. I have a difficult time routing things around. But even if I have two track, normally one track goes one way, one's the other, and now I've got to route those trains across that. So I often lose or delay things and lose some revenue as a result of that. So if I can better manage that, I can reduce the impact of that lost revenue. Some of the challenges there, very similar to roads, need to manage this as a continuous asset with dynamic segmentation. They use a few different things with location. So they'll have mile markers instead of mile posts, but they also may call them chain markers. They'll have track number, offset, but then they'll track things like switches, frogs, which are also like a crossing, and things like signals. The operation process there is a little different. They're a little more focused around safety because there's an expectation that the track is in good working order and the trains, you won't derail, things like that, obviously. So they have inspectors that often go out either weekly or twice weekly and visually inspect the track. They'll also have track geometry cars. These are special cars that go along and identify where there might be problems. And these are, again, called conditions. And when they identify these, they're often done in colors. A red condition is something that needs to be done immediately. It's an emergency kind of repair that needs to be made. There are yellow conditions, which are things that need to be scheduled and repaired, but they're not going to cause a derailment. And then there's green conditions, and these are things that I'm not going to fix now, but I want to keep an eye on. So in the future, when I go and do another inspection, I want to check to see if that's gotten any worse. And if it does get worse, I want to repair that. Just like roads, they have crews that either make repairs or other crews that go out and do new construction. And then we've got two partners for railway. One is Bentley Systems with their Optram solution, and we've worked with them primarily in the U.S. And then there's a new partner called Mermec, which has a system called Ramsys, and they're an Italian-based company, and we're starting to look for opportunities to work with them, especially more in Europe, and they're considered one of the global leaders for that. Let me talk now about a couple other examples, pipeline and wire, so utility companies, telecommunication, oil and gas. For these type of organizations, they want to address service interruptions immediately. So if the power's down or the water's not flowing, they want to know about that because they want to continue to serve their customer. Their challenge is they need to also maintain it as a continuous asset with dynamic segmentation. But the way they typically identify location is through GIS. especially for access points or towers, things like that. So with underground a pipe, they or cable, they want to have know where the access points are, and obviously above ground power, they want to know where those towers are. The operations process there is they'll often have systems that monitor for the leaks and breaks, and that will be typically tied into Maximo, an alert Maximo that we've got a problem. There's also situations where the citizens call in for a service disruption. You know, the power's out at my house. Can you send someone out to repair that? And then they'll also have crews that do repairs or new construction projects. And they also do some preventive maintenance, not as much as you do with roads and rail, but they do some preventive maintenance. So let's now shift to our solution. And let me talk about the asset management product family. And you can see at the top we've got the Maximo Asset Management Solutions and the new Essentials product and also the IT solution. And then below that we've got Industry Solutions. And then we've got add-on solutions, and Maximo Linear Asset Manager is an add-on solution. This is something you can add to Maximo either when you buy it or later when, if you already own Maximo, you can add it to it. But it's sold only to people that either are buying or already own Maximo Asset Management. So that's how we define it as an add-on solution. And I'll walk you through some packaging examples to help you understand that. Now, our Maximo Linear Asset Manager solution is going to be released in May, so in a few weeks, just before the Pulse conference, we'll announce this. It's going to be released also with a variety of other Maximo Asset Management solutions, some add-ons and the base solutions. And then in the third quarter, we're going to start releasing some additional add-on and type solutions, as well as some industry solutions, government, oil, and gas. In the fourth quarter, we're going to release the utilities product, the new spatial product, the updated spatial product, and also the nuclear power solution. And then in the beginning, sometime in the first half of 2009, you'll see the rest of the industry solutions and the rest of the add-on solutions added. So our Maximo Linear Asset Manager will be coming out initially on the 7.1 platform, so it will only work with Maximo 7.1. So if a customer has an older version of Maximo, they want to buy this, they would need to upgrade, but they could add it to their existing Maximo Asset Management deployment. Now let's talk about packaging and a little bit about pricing. Maximo Linear Asset Manager is an add-on solution. We already discussed that. And here's an example. Let's say it's a rail company. They've got 50 mechanics that maintain 1,000 miles of track. Now, this is just an example. Don't think the 50 mechanics always do 1,000 miles of track or 25 will do 500 miles. It's, again, just an example. Could be more, could be less. There's also, in this example, 10 facilities maintenance people. So with an initial purchase, they're going to buy, if they're buying now, and they're going to buy Maximo Asset Management for 60 users, and then they're going to add on another 50 users of Maximo Linear Asset Manager. So they take the price of Maximo Asset Management, which today is $4,474 times 60. Then they would multiply the uplift price of Maximo Linear Asset Manager. We haven't released that price yet. That's why I don't have something here. But they would just multiply that by 50, and that would give them the total initial price, at least the list price for that. And certainly our salespeople may then discount that if it's appropriate. If they buy later, they can. It's really the same kind of thing. It's just that they're buying at a different time. So they may already have bought 60 users of Maximo Asset Management, or maybe they buy that in a month, and then a month later or 6 months later they want to buy the linear product, they would just buy 50 users of that. So the software cost would be the same as it would be for the initial price. Basically, you're just buying 60 users and then 50 users times the uplift price. So effectively, it's the same thing. And so it's really when does it fit the customer. And we also realize that we have a lot of customers today that manage linear assets, but they don't have our Linear Asset Manager solution yet. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ed Jones, and I'll be around for the rest of the presentation, so I'll be able to answer some questions at the end. You want to go ahead, Ed?
Thanks, Ken. Ken mentioned a number of challenges that owners of linear assets face, and what I'd like to do now is to take a few minutes and review some of the features that we've added to the Maximo Linear Asset Manager to address those challenges. The first one, obviously, is to be able to define linear assets in Maximo. What we've done is we've extended the asset application to allow users to identify an asset as linear. And then once the asset is identified as linear, we use a conditional UI functionality to expose linear referencing details in a number of applications. Initially, they'll see linear referencing details on the main tab of the asset application, which allows them to enter a start and end measure, the basis for all linear referencing, as well as the linear referencing method. How are we measuring from the start of this asset? Are we using miles or kilometers? And how are we measuring from previously defined features? Sometimes that will be done in feet, so we need to be able to handle multiple units of measure in supporting linear assets. Once we define the start and end measure, or our boundaries for the linear asset, we get more into the actual definition or the characteristics of the linear asset. This is something that our current users struggle with, because in Maximo today, attributes apply to the entire linear asset. But for a linear asset, logically, they need to be able to apply values to specific measures. So in 7.1, they'll be able to add new attributes as well as add the same attribute with new values. For example, if I have a speed limit, and that speed limit is 55 from mile 0 to mile 10, I can insert a new row, enter the same attribute speed limit with a new value of 65 from mile 10 to mile 20. This is very powerful and is going to provide a lot of benefit for our linear users. When we start talking about defining a linear asset, we start with measure information. How far am I from the beginning of the linear asset? But when it comes to maintenance workers, they don't always know those exact measures, so they typically use reference points when locating work. So we've introduced a new object into Maximo called a feature. And a feature is a physical object that exists to support the asset. So in this case, we have a mile point, which has been created and then applied to a linear asset. And maintenance workers can use this reference point to locate work. And then in the background, we will be maintaining the exact measure. Now, for roads, this may not seem like a big deal because a milepost tends to be close to the exact measurement of that mile. But when you get to railways, that is not the case. Mileposts in the rail world can be very far from the mile that they are identifying. So this is very important to track not only the reference points, but the exact measures as well. And features will allow us to do that. Once we define the characteristics of a linear asset, we need to define their relationships. In Maximo today, users are limited to parent-child relationships, which is a real struggle for them because linear assets are operationally related in terms of intersections and preceding and succeeding overpasses and underpasses. What we're doing here is actually leveraging functionality that came out of the configuration item world, and we're using the relationship application to allow users to define their own relationships. These relationships can then be used as reference points. When we started talking with municipalities, we found that mileposts or kilometer posts don't mean much to them because when you get inside city boundaries, they don't have these reference points. So it was critical for them to be able to measure the start and end of work based upon existing intersections. So what we did was we extended the user-defined relationship discussion, and we allowed them to identify a relationship as a reference. So in this instance, we've created an intersection between Interstate 95 and Maryland Route 198. And in the background, what Maxima will do is create a feature. And this feature can then be used on work orders as a reference point to locate work. History is also a big issue, not only with fixed assets, but for linear assets as well. When we're talking about compliance, when we're talking about accident reporting, it's critical for our users to be able to go back and look at any specific point in time and see what did that road look like when this incident occurred, what was going on, what were the attributes, what were the features, and how was that asset related to other assets at that point in time. So while Maximo already has e-audit, we've actually created a new piece of history functionality that uses or leverages the functionality found in Configuration Manager. When a user enters a new value for an attribute, what we will do is basically stamp the existing attribute record and put a remove date on it, and then create a brand new record with a new created date. That way they have, for compliance purposes, an exact record of what changed at that point in time. And we found that this has been met with very, very favorable response from a compliance standpoint. At the end of the day, it all comes down to work. So once we define our linear asset, we need to be able to work on the linear asset. So on work orders, as well as the PM application, routes, and extending into service requests as well, users can add a start and end measure to the work that they are identifying. So they basically have a work segment. They can identify that start and end using existing reference points and offsets or by entering in the direct measure. They're also able to enter in the Y offset, which means am I working to the right or left of the road, as well as the Z offset, whether I'm working above or below. And when they're working on a single linear asset, at many times they need to work on multiple linear assets. An example of this would be when rail workers are grinding the rails. They tend to start on track one, grind over a crossover onto track two. All of those are separate assets, but each of those assets needs to be recorded against a single work order because it is one job plan. It's basically one major task. So we extended work order tracking to add a multiple asset location and CI table that allows the rail workers to do that. So not only can you put on multiple assets, but we've also enabled them to put on segments of those assets as well. What we found is that this has become a benefit not only for linear assets, but for point assets as well. Our customers such as LADPW that has 100,000 manholes certainly benefits from the ability to place multiple assets on one work order when they have to inspect those manhole covers twice a year. A lot of that work will be driven by condition monitoring. And in the rail world specifically, we have daily or weekly walking inspections going on as well as information coming from the telemetry cars that we need to be able to track and then generate work orders. So in condition monitoring, we've added start and end measures to the readings that are taken. So not only can we track that a condition has been met or exceeded, but we can also identify where that condition took place and generate a work order for that specific segment of a linear asset. We are leveraging the ability to create user-defined relationships in the route application by allowing users to create route stops using relationships. This was born out of the requirement for the rail industry when they basically need to step through a network from track one over a crossover to track two and subsequently to additional related tracks. But we found here, just like we found with our manhole covers, that relationships can also be beneficial to point assets as well. For example, if I have an inspection work order, that's going to take care of all my signals on a segment of track. I can enter in that track in my routing application, identify the signals that are related to that track, and then create route stops from it. When we created features to support reference points, we realized that there were other benefits to features as well. Specifically, in the pipeline industry, Maximo customers have been challenged with leak management. Leaks in the pipeline industry are tracked, they are not always repaired, and sometimes they're reclassified. And we didn't really have a good mechanism for supporting that type of work. So we extended the feature capability so a user can actually create a PM or create a work order on a feature. When they do that, the costing for that activity will be tracked against the asset, but they have a specific way of not only identifying that there's a leak, but creating a PM to monitor the leak, and because features have attributes, they can change the classification of the leak based upon an inspection. Once these work orders are created, whether they be from inspections or condition monitoring or other means, the users need an easy way to group these work orders. So what we've done is we've created a linear filter in the work management applications. Typically in Maximo, when you're filtering, you enter values that you want to match. But in the case of linear assets, that's not always the case. For example, with work orders, I want to be able to put in a range, and I want to retrieve work orders that start within that range, end within that range, or overlap that complete range. And this linear filter enables us to do that. In roadways, every driver with a cell phone is basically a road inspector. So we found that a number of our clients end up with a proliferation of work orders based upon calls that come in from clients or their users, or they simply don't track them at all, and they end up with a lot of confusion. So we've extended the Create Service Request application, which now enables them to put in the start and end measure for service requests. This is another feature that's been met with a lot of favor, you know, by our clients, because they realize they need to do a better job of tracking these requests. Because this way, they can group these requests together, create a global service request, and then create a single work order to satisfy a number of these service requests. When they create those work orders, they need to be able to track progress against them. What we've done is we've added a progress table to the work order. So if I'm working on I-95 and my work order calls for me to pave 5 miles, if I only pave 1 mile of that work segment today, I can enter that into my progress table. So managers can go in at the end of the day and see how work has been progressing with all of their crews. This is also helpful for things like inspections, where a single inspection work order may cover multiple miles. The inspector can simply go in, put in his start and end point. It's just a simple way for him to track his progress on a daily basis. In summary, what we've done is to extend Maximo to more effectively support linear assets. We've only created one new application, which is features. Our goal was to allow Maximo to do what it does best and maintain assets, but also extend it where we needed to extend it to better support linear assets. If you'd like more information, we have a linear wiki for the Maximo Linear Asset Manager, and we also have a sandbox. And if you'd like access to that online sandbox, feel free to email me after the presentation. And with that, I will pass it back to Ken.
Thanks, Ed. I think we're ready for questions now. So if Angelina, if you could explain how to ask questions to our audience.
Yes, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset and depress your mute function to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1. And it looks like we do have a question coming from Ms. Mary Benzel.
Morning, Ken. Morning, Ed. Well done. Could you discuss how linear assets features overlay or participate with maximospatial from a graphical perspective?
That's a great question, and I'll start, and I'll let Ed chime in and talk about the development path. Now, if you think back to one of my earlier slides about the release schedule, obviously this solution's Maximo Linear Asset Manager is on the 7.1 platform. Our utilities, our spatial solution, and spatial is part of utilities, or it can be sold separately, will not be released until the fourth quarter of this year. So the earliest there might be an integration or a combination of that spatial product and the linear asset manager would be in December. And I know Ed's working with that team, and I'm not sure if they're going to be able to bring those products together then or if it'll be a little bit later. And I'll let Ed talk about that. But initially, they won't work together just for the fact that spatial is not on 7.1 and linear asset manager is only on 7.1. Do you want to add something to that, Ed?
I will just basically chime in that I agree with what you're saying in terms of the timeline. What we're trying to do right now is allow spatial to move up to 7 and then determine what it is exactly that we need to do to support linear assets subsequent to that. But we don't have a timeline for that other than the fact that the discussions are ongoing in terms of a use case and a design from a design standpoint.
And we're early on in the process, right? We're getting this solution out. The team that's working on spatial the new utility solution hasn't started the process of how they would work together yet. So it's a little early yet to answer the part of your question about how will they look and work together. We're not at that step yet.
Okay, I have one more question. You've mentioned the condition monitoring capability on various segments. Do you envision that the conditions which are assessed for a linear measure of a road or rail might then be used to contribute to capital budget forecast planning?
Well, I think it would. And there's a difference between road and rail because with road, we would continue to use our partner Invista to do that capital planning piece, the budgeting piece that's not in Maximo today. So we want to continue to work with a partner on that because that capability is not in Maximo, and we don't have near-term plans to add that pavement management or capital planning part to Maximo. On railways, it's done a little bit differently, and our partners somewhat help us there, but it's not the same type of capital planning that a state road would do. So our expectation is we'll continue to work with partners, and in the future may add some more capital planning capabilities or budgeting to Maximo, but very likely it'll be added to the core solution, not necessarily to specifically only to linear assets.
Okay, thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, that is star one. And it appears there are no further questions. Actually, I apologize. We do have someone that has just queued up. We'll go to Morten Strand.
Thank you very much. Coming from Europe, I guess language always becomes a discussion. So are there any plans for localization of the linear asset module?
That's a great question, and we've got a great answer. The Maximo Linear Asset Manager is part of Maximo Asset Management. So when the base product is available in language, I believe the linear product will be as well. Is that correct, Ed?
That is correct.
Okay, so if you can get Maximo Asset Management on 7.1 in a local language, it's the linear product's already in that local language.
Perfect. Good. Thank you.
Sure thing, Martin.
We'll take our next question coming from Mr. Rod Mosley.
Hey, good morning, Ken and Ed. Great job. Appreciate it. Product looks good. Question I have is with the segmentation of the asset, how do we handle the cost of the maintenance? So I've taken a segment from A to B, cut it in half. How do we handle that cost? Do we let the customer make that decision, or Maximo determines that?
I'll let Ed take that one.
Well, there are a few points in here, and specifically, we are still looking at a single GL per asset dynamic. So today, what the customers are looking for is to be able to track where the work has taken place. So we have a cost history report, a linear cost history report, which will identify where that money has been spent. Are you looking for something specific in terms of reporting or multiple GLs, or is there something else that you'd like to see?
Yeah, and I was thinking, and Ed, I'm going back probably about a year and a half. I was doing a presentation with Russ Anderton, and one of the things that we came up short on is that once that it was a roadway in that particular instance, once they segmented that road, how did they go about splitting out the cost that was already associated with that previous segment?
Right.
And I think they was looking for a product to determine that, but I know it could be different in every instance. So I was just wondering if we've given any thought to it.
Well, what we're looking at right now is in Falcon, they're looking at making a number of supply chain changes, and part of that's going to be something we're just using an umbrella term to call cost distribution. And what that will enable us to do is to distribute costs to multiple assets on a work order, but what we're also discussing is the ability to distribute costs based upon GL boundaries on a linear asset. So that may address that. I'm not sure. And if you have specific use cases, I'd be more than happy to make sure that we cover those. But in the first release of Linear Asset Manager, we are still within that 1GL per asset paradigm.
And that for some customers, that is not an issue.
Correct.
They may have a sign that all their signs may associate with 1GL, and then their the road or the a bridge may be associated with a different GL.
Yes.
And that's okay. And
yes.
It'll keep that the costs associated with those separately, even though I did work in that same section today. Is that right, Ed?
Yes, that's correct. And I have found that for roadways, they tend to do more of this sort of activity-based costing. Rail seems to be somewhat different in terms of how they segment their track. So what we're dealing with now is customers have been, existing Maximo customers have been supplying that type of breakout functionality in the past, and the ones I'm talking to currently will simply plan on doing that when they move to 7.1. But my goal is to be able to pull that type of functionality into a subsequent version of Linear Asset Manager.
And let me give you an example. When I worked for the Bay Area Rapid Transit system, we would get funding from a variety of different sources. Some of it would be federal, some of it would be local, and BART stretches across multiple counties. And there may be some development or improvement that's covered by one fund, and then there's something else covered by another fund. And so we needed to track our costs back to those funds, even though we may be doing multiple jobs in the same area. So we would split out, or we may apportion those charges. So what we would do is we would charge it to one account, and then the budgeting team would have a tool that would split those costs out after it got out of the asset management system. So customers, if they do have multiple account codes that they need to charge to in a scenario like that, they'll still use a separate budgeting tool to split that out. In the future, we may be able to do that within Maximo itself.
Thanks again, and product looks good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rod. Any other questions?
As a final reminder, that is star one if you have a question. And there are no further questions.
Well, thank you for attending today. Before you go, I wanted to let you know we have some additional presentations coming up. We spoke earlier that we had some Tivoli talks around Maximo Asset Management, and that's a product that's going general availability in May 16th of 2008. We also have some talks coming up on Maximo Asset Management for IT, the Service Request Management solution, and then later in the year there's going to be a Tivoli talk on the CCMDB product. And once again, you know, we've covered the Linear Asset Manager today. There'll be some upcoming talks on Maximo Asset Management Essentials in May. You might want to look for those. And then finally, for those of you that are interested in learning about Passport Advantage and the migration, there are four Tivoli talks planned around that. The overview already took place last week, but there's some tools training, some Q&A, and some pricing and entitlement migration that are coming up in May and June. So thank you again for your participation today, and if you do have questions, feel free to contact Ed or myself, and we'll be happy to help you.
That does conclude today's program. Once again, we do appreciate your participation. Have a wonderful day.